as the people of God. This is the third Sunday with you, and I woke up this morning all excited to be here and work in the sanctuary, and I said, today I'm going to make myself at home. And I came up here, and I noticed the mic was here, so I put the mic on by myself. You know, I didn't have Dell to tape me and to tell me what to do, and I felt so content. I did it all by myself, like the little boy. And then Brian came up here and tried to talk, and the mic was not on. And it dawned on me. I said, boy, you got too proud too quickly. I have forgotten to make a check with the sound system. I'm glad you know that the system is working. What a privilege to be with you. And just as I was sitting there, it dawned on me that last year, I spent the Holy Week in Greenville, but on the other side of the town, both Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, and glad to see some of the people from the other side of the town to be here with us today. The experts tell us that today begins the Holy Week. Palm Sunday, and then concludes with the Easter Sunday. So I suggest that you make a few stops during this week that can make the difference in your life. I suggest that you make your first stop tonight here. We'll be talking about the wounds of our life and God's healing grace. All of us, one time or another, have experienced a wound in life, have we? And all of us need God's grace. Then during the week, I suggest that you make stop in the upper room. Enjoy some fellowship with the Master and humble yourself and wash the feet of somebody and reflect on His great love as you partake of the bread and you partake of the cup. And then why don't you take a stroll and go over in the Garden of Gethsemane, kneel where He knelt, and master within your soul to pronounce the words, not my will, but thy be done. Because all of us struggle with our own will, don't we? Every day. And then why don't you take a stroll down on the Via Dolorosa, walk by His side as He carries the cross, and as the blood drips down from His forehead that has the crown of thorns, hear the voices of all those who mock and laugh. Get all the way to the cross of Calvary where He is crucified, and bend your knee. Look at Him and hear His words. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. You might find in your heart to forgive somebody. And then, why don't you come back here next Sunday morning and stand before the empty tomb and hear the glorious song, He is risen. He is risen. And then experience somehow that the power that raised Him from the dead is the power that works in your life and my life and has raised us time after time from the valley of despair to the mountaintop to sing the song of victory. Let me begin the message this morning with story. It happened this week. When I was pastor in Winchester, there was a fellow named Bill Burden. Bill worked for years for Rockwell, and back a few years back, the plant shut down, and the company compensated them, and lots of these men from Winchester, they have to look for employment somewhere else. And Bill found his right place. He became a greeter at Walmart. Every time you walked there, here was this short man with the biggest smile, and he would greet you, and he would tell you a story or two. You could not go in without talking to Bill. Every special occasion will have a tie on. They had something especially on Easter, will have a Easter tie. And he said, he pointed his tie up and says, this is the reason for the season. The same thing on Christmas. And every time I walk on Walmart, which was not very often, probably my wife had more times than I do, Bill will stop me, show his tie, and whatever the occasion says, this is the reason for the season. And then he grabbed one person, passed by, and said, this is my pastor. Another person passed by, 10, 15 people, introducing his pastor with the biggest smile that you ever have seen. It makes you feel so important. Always had a smile in every special occasion in the church. He will take pictures. And then he will bring you a copy of the pictures with a special note. And always he enjoyed. About 2 months ago, Bill lost his wife. His wife died. I went to the viewing, and I went to the funeral. And then I did not see Bill for quite a while, except last Tuesday. It was a big funeral in the church. And I had gone to the view the night before, then and I slipped in for the funeral. I just wanted to sit on the back. I had to leave after finish. And I noticed to my left, Bill Burden was sitting all by himself. There was no smile on his face, very subdued. And I said, this must be hard for Bill. So I think it was Thursday. I had to run quick to Walmart to pick up something, and as I ran between the islands there, I noticed Bill was pulling a cart. It was not greeting people anymore. He had a few things on his cart and slowly was pushing on his way. The impulse of me, you have to know, if I see somebody that I know, a friend, I want to run toward them, not away from them. My impulse was to run and just give him a hug and talk to him, but the pressure was so intense, and I said, no, I don't have the time. And I ran to find a couple of things that I wanted there. And then I ran to the check-in line, you know, and I noticed that Bill was on the other line, just a couple of 3 steps ahead of me. You see, divine providence did not let me get away. And Bill checked out before I did, and across was a bench, and took his cart with a few things, and then put his coat on and sat on the bench and just review his purchasing list. Very subdued face. I could not resist. I checked out. When I crossed, when he saw me, he jumped up, gave me a big hug, and a smile came to his face. And I asked him how he was doing, and he said, Brother Bill, it's hard. How do you do when you lose one of your arms? So I saw he had the magazine there, and the magazine had the story of Abraham Lincoln. He said, I'll take this. I like story. I said, I like history too, Bill. In fact, I said, just I came from the house and I was checking the history of the city of Jerusalem, because next Sunday I'm going to preach on what happened in Jerusalem, and I want to say something about Jerusalem who had lost its song, and how somebody came to visit to give them a new song. Then he said, what are you preaching? I said, I'm preaching in Greenville, Tennessee. And his facial expression changed. He said, I don't think I can get down there. It's too far. He says, when you are going to preach around here somewhere? And then I come. Sometimes we can lose our song, can't we? Now let me ask you this morning, what kind of song do you sing? Brian came up a few moments ago and read the scripture, and I was so delighted to see him read the scripture than to see him in the costume that we saw him last Saturday. I better see him read the scripture. And forgive me for repeating the scripture, because it's the focus of the day. Brian read from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, begin verse 1, and he went a little bit farther than verse 10. And the scripture says, and when they came near to Jerusalem at Bethphage, which is interpreted the house of figs, and Bethany, which is just close at the Mount of Olives, Jesus looked at two unnamed disciples, and he said, go to the village ahead of us, and you'll find a colt that is tied, on which no man has sat on it. Just bring it here. And if anybody asks you what you are doing, just tell them, the Lord has need of it. And they went, the scripture says, and they came where two roads met. And lo and behold, next to a door was the colt tied, and as they tried to unloose, one of the men who stood by says, what are you doing? And he said, the Lord has need of it. And said, go ahead. Would you like to be in situation, anything you wanted, just to say the words, the Lord has need of it? And then without any objection. So they came back when Jesus was, and the scripture says they put some clothes on the top of the colt or donkey in our language, and then they set Jesus on it. And then the multitudes that were there start to take clothes and put in the front on the road that's supposed to walk, and got branches. And spontaneously, the people in the front and the people in the back, they start to sing, Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, which in essence says, I beg you, save us, or please deliver us. All this takes place as they enter the city of Jerusalem, the city that one time was the center of the world, the city that had a history spanning almost 5,000 years, the city that was going with all kinds of names, the city of God, the city of David, the city that killed the prophets, and believe it or not, it was going with the name, the city of peace. In fact, the Hebrew name is Shalom, means city of peace. And it was in this city that this event is taking place. Now the city of Jerusalem has a long and turbulent history. No other city has experienced the pain and the grief and the destruction and the anguish that the city of Jerusalem has experienced. The city of Jerusalem has completely been destroyed twice. And King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and under the Roman Emperor Titus in 70 A.D.C. The city of Jerusalem has been invaded 40 times. It has been besieged 23 times. And some of the besieges of the cities were so terrible that people were cut out of everything, that even people that came to the place, parents, to eat their children for survival. This city had experienced conflict 118 times. And at one revolt alone, 3,000 people were killed. Those who do an excavation in the city of Jerusalem, they have gone to go down layer after layer after layer in order to reach the original ground when Jesus walked when was on this earth. It was this city that was living down under the oppression of the Romans. This city that had learned to sing only the song of sorrow and pain and destruction. It was in this city that our Lord Jesus Christ was mocked. It was in this city that will carry his cross. It was in this city that was crucified. And it was in this city that he was raised from the dead. But now there is something unusual happens in this city that never had happened before. Oh, there have been many invaders that came into the city with style, riding on their stallions with pride, declaring their victories. But never before, the Prince of Peace riding on a donkey. Never before, the Prince of Peace walking to the city of destruction and sorrow, which had lost its song, coming to introduce a song, the song of deliverance and the song of peace. It was in this city a long time ago that the shepherd boy who played the harp had sung the songs that really the city accustomed to. Because it was the songs when the city was walking in the center of God's will. It was the songs that came from hearts that they have experienced the deliverance and the power of God. And as David played his harp, whether it was at sunset or sunrise, the gentle breeze carried the melody from hill to hill and from valley to valley. And people found comfort and inspiration. Oh, I love to sing such songs, don't you? Go with me and imagine David singing. And apply the songs to your feelings and to your emotions. What happens? Hear him sing, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul thirsteth for God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, and who crowns you with life and satisfies your mouth. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I lift my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. This is the songs that encourage the heart and inspire the soul. And you can stand with hope when hope does not seem possible. But Jerusalem had lost the song. Unbelief and disobedience and rebellion had robbed them of their song. When the darkness fell at night, there was no song in the heart. There is no song in the street. There was no song in the house. There was no song in the temple. And my friend, you don't want to live in a place where there is no song. Because if you want to know the state of the people, just listen to their songs. If you want to hear where our culture goes today, just listen to the songs of the pop culture and you find out where we are. Do you know where hell begins? When we lose our song. Or we have nothing to sing about. Then the trouble begins. Because you see, God has made us to sing. It's why the scripture says, sing unto the Lord a new song. I always admire Dale that puts the songs together, and no matter what kind of mood you are, after a while your spirit is lit. And this is what music intended to do in our life. Some time ago I came across an Argentinian gouge book of poems written by Martin Fierro, a well-known poet in Argentina. And he has something to say about singing. I wish if you knew Spanish, and I don't want anybody to live here accusing me of speaking in tongues, though if I speak more tongues than most of you. And Martin Fierro says, cantando me de morir, cantando me de enterrar, cantando me de llegar al pie de mi Padre Celestial, desde mi vientre de mi madre vine en este mundo a cantar. He says, singing, I have to die. Singing, they have to bury me. Singing, I have to arrive at the feet of my eternal Father. From my mother's womb, came into this world to sing. And that is true for you and for me. We came into this world to sing. So singing, we must die. Singing, we must bury it. In singing, we must arrive at the feet of our Father Celestial. Francis of Assisi, a great saint, not only taught us a great deal about prayer. You remember Francis of Assisi prayer? Lord, make me an instrument of peace. For there is hate, let me bring love. Where is wounds, let me bring healing. Where is this war, let me bring peace. But also, Francis, he taught us something about singing. You remember the song which says, all God, all creatures of my God and kin, lift your voices and sing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou burning sun with golden beams, thou silver moon with softer beams, oh, praise him, oh, praise him, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then all ye men with tender heart, let forgiven others be your part. And you who long pain and sorrow bear, praise God and cast on him all your care. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God put a song in our heart. My former professor, Dr. Robert Coleman, he was in Asbury, and he had wrote many meaningful books that have been translated in several languages. But one of the last books he wrote, it was Songs of Heaven. And he walked through the book of Revelation and discover how God's people, no matter how dark, how painful, how many the obstacles, how threatened their life, always they had a song in every situation. Like the songwriter says that God gives them a song all day long. And in that book tells the story of the little girl. The little girl was very ill and supposed to undergo surgery. And the day of the surgery, the attendant physician came in the room, knowing how apprehensive the little girl was, sat by the side of the bed and struck a conversation. And the process of the conversation, he said, now this is going to hurt, but you can cry as much as you want. The little girl sat up, and in defiance to the doctor's advice, he said, I'd rather sing. And she sang during the whole operation. This is what God wants us to do, to sing. There's nothing that can defeat the devil more than a people of God that sing all the time. They have a song. No matter how dark, sing the song of praise, the song of joy, the song of faith, the song of hope, the song of thanksgiving, the song of contentment. Sing! You see, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, Jerusalem had no song. And declared publicly that he was the Messiah and the King. He declared publicly that the prophecy that has been done by Zechariah, chapter 9 and verse 9, was fulfilled at that moment. Rejoice, O daughter Zion, shout, daughter Jerusalem, your king is coming, is just, bring salvation, and lowly, riding on a donkey, rejoice. He also made the announcement that that was God's visitation to the city, and that he came to bring a new song. But Jerusalem never realized that it was the opportunity to have a new song. You know, I have met throughout my life lots of people that lost their song. I've seen people that once they had a song, and one thing after another, they love the song. And the saddest thing is to be in a service and not have a song. Some people, they lost their song because of neglect. There are some people who lost their song because of moral failure. There are some people lost their song because they have allowed the cares of this life to squeeze them in and rob them of their song. Some, they lost their song because they have allowed the spirit of unforgiveness, the spirit of resentment, the spirit of envy, the spirit of jealousy to grip in the heart and take away their song. But God intended for you to sing. Sing a new song. The song of the Lord. Because when the Lord comes, there is a song that is born within us. That's why Job said, who giveth a song in the night. Then the psalmist said, he put a new song in my mouth. And again he says, in the night, his song came. And Moses says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He gives a song. Wherever he is, there is a song. That's why I think was Robert Robertson said, come, thou fountain of blessings, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, songs of lauded praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by foreign tongues above. When Jesus comes, there is a song that is born in our hearts in every season, in every occasion. What is the song that you sang this morning? You remember Samson? Samson, he was the strongest man. He had a song to sing. He could catch together 300 foxes. He can kill 1,000 Philistines with the jaw of a donkey. He can turn apart the jaw of a lion. You know, he could do all these things. But because he told the secret to Delilah, he lost his song. And then the moment he realized, though blind and prisoner, his song came. And his power was restored. Remember Elijah? Because of Jezebel, he ran to hide, lost his song, till the Lord visit him. And his strength and his song was renewed. You remember Peter? He denied the Lord and lost his song and his power and his authority till Jesus met him at the seashore and asked him that painful threefold question, do you love me more than this? And when Peter was restored, again his song. Well, you remember David? That great shepherd, that great king after the heart of God, that one moment in weakness could not resist temptation, and he lost his authority, he lost his song, till the prophet rebuked him. And you read Psalm 51, and oh, how his heart is expressed the hunger of his soul, acknowledges his sin, and begs that his God's Spirit will not be taken for him, and that the joy of his salvation will be restored. And then he was touched and says, come, let's sing unto the Lord a new song. He says, my mouth will sing the praises of our God. Come into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Why? Because when Jesus Christ is restored in our life, his song is restored. Do you have a song? God wants to give you a song. And I close this. One of the most painful thing for Nero in the time of persecution, that he could not stand it. He will throw Christians in the wild beasts, and they kept on singing. He will cover them with pitch and light them to lit the streets of Rome, and they will sing. And he says, look, I kill one and hundreds are born. I throw them in the wild beast. I burn them to the stake and they sing. He could not stand the song. Come, let's sing unto the Lord a new song. And if you have lost your song, you come. He will turn the chords of your broken heart, and he will put such a music in your soul, and no matter how dark the moment, how big the storm, you'll be able to sing. Praise the Lord, my heart with his love is beaming. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Will you stand as Brother Dale will come to lead us? Our Father and our God, we thank you for your manifold grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your spirit with us as we sang the songs of Zion and as we recited your word, how your spirit worked in our life. You know all of us by name. You know what's happening in our heart and life this moment. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you draw us to the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may tune the chords of our heart again and give us the song of praise and thanksgiving. Minister to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.